This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Karen Lee, Chief Executive Officer, and Hilary Young, Vice President of Policy and Communications for Pioneer Human Services. Karen Lee and Hilary Young are here today to tell us about the work of Pioneer Human Services, an entrepreneurial human service organization that provides a chance for change to people overcoming the challenges of substance abuse and criminal histories by offering treatment, housing, and employment. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Would you elaborate on the mission or goal of Pioneer Human Services?
Certainly. At Pioneer Services, the mission of our company is really to provide a chance for change for individuals who have a background with a criminal history or they have chemical dependency issues. And we really work hard to help them transition into life in our community, becoming taxpaying citizens, contributing to society, being great parents and family members.
Why was Pioneer Human Services started? What is your history?
It's an interesting history. Our founder was an attorney here in Seattle. His name is Jack Dalton, and he had a significant alcohol addiction. He was incarcerated for embezzlement in Walla Walla Penitentiary, and through that experience, he decided to come back and really try to offer a place for people to live and transition back into society and have work opportunities, and that started our company.
And I would just add that Jack really had a vision. He was looking at what the gaps were for people as they were coming back into the community. And he saw that housing, treatment, and employment were really the key pieces that people needed to be stable so that they could start to reassimilate.
How do you differ from most nonprofits? What is your model?
We differ from many nonprofits because of our integrated service approach, again, with treatment, housing, and employment. But within that program delivery, we also have a number of business enterprises where we can offer employment opportunities and job training.
One of the things that makes Pioneer most unique really is our manufacturing enterprise. We are an aerospace manufacturer, and we employ about 300 people in that part of the organization, and more than three-fourths of them are what we would call our program employees or people who have either a history of chemical dependency or have been incarcerated.
Absolutely. And that organization is quite large. We have two manufacturing facilities here in Seattle, over 100,000 square feet of space and over 2 million parts we produce a year for airplanes that we fly on every day.
Would you say more about the background of the people who participate in your programs?
The typical person that Pioneer serves with a criminal history will have been incarcerated more than once and over 4 years. It's typically male because that's who gets incarcerated and often don't have a positive history with the labor market or the education system and quite often has had significant trauma in their past related to their family, which all feeds into decisions that lead to criminal behavior. And so for those individuals, we really work hard with taking a look at what is the skill deficit, better decision making, affirmation in terms of value. If you've been in prison for a long time, you haven't paid child support, you have limited family contact, you will have low self-esteem. On top of it, society thinks poor things about you. And then you have the pressure of the criminal lifestyle. So we really try to work through all those issues in our 4-week training program first, just to make an individual employable. Then we get into occupational training and basic education. And at that point, a person, if they desire and they have the competency, is ready to be an entry-level employee in a manufacturing company. So it takes a lot of work. And that is not even touching the approach that we take with people that come with an addiction.
And I would just share some individual stories. We have people on our shop floor who have been incarcerated for 30 years. And this is really their first job back in the labor market, and oftentimes their first job really in their lives. And so really creating that connection to the labor force, but also helping people learn the skills of how do you get along in a workplace? How do you deal with conflict? Those are all things that really they haven't learned in their experience. And so in addition to teaching them job skills, it's really about how do you get along and succeed in a workplace?
But we have just a number of success stories, and we have individuals that learn that they have a competency for operating equipment. We have a young man who has only been at Pioneer for a year, and he can work every single piece of equipment in one of our plants, for example. So that would be a water jet. That would be basic laser operation. That would be basic metal shaping and basic pressing. I mean, these are just amazing skills that turn into products that we use every day. And just imagine the pride that you feel with that.
What criteria do you have for participation in your programs? What qualities are you looking for in the people who apply?
Well, I think it really varies by program. You know, we offer a wide selection of programs from housing to treatment to employment. Some people are referred to our programs as a requirement, either because, you know, they've been involved with drug court, maybe as a condition of their probation or release. So that is really one piece of sort of who we serve. And then we have on the employment and training side, really what we're looking for is someone who needs our help to get back into the job market or to enter the job market for the first time. So it has to be someone who's ready and willing to make that change, who has the aptitude to be able to get employment, I would say, or to be able to qualify for some of our occupational training courses. Our Manufacturing Academy, for instance, is a very complex program. You have to be able to do some pretty advanced math. So we don't want to set people up to fail in a program like that. So we're selective based on the program requirements and really work that backwards to figure out who's the best fit.
Overall, what fraction of the people who apply are you able to accept?
The one that I can speak to most is our training program. Really, Pioneer's training program is for anyone who has a history of either chemical addiction or a criminal background. And there is way more need than there is availability, I would say. Our capacity, we probably accept about 1 out of every 4 people who are referred to our programs. But those that we can't help, you know, we try to either line them up with one of our other programs or refer them to a partner who can help.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Karen Lee, Chief Executive Officer, and Hillary Young, Vice President of Policy and Communications for Pioneer Human Services, an entrepreneurial human service organization that provides a chance for change to people overcoming the challenges of substance abuse and criminal histories by offering treatment, housing, and employment. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Let's talk in more detail about the programs that you offer. Would you say more about the chemical treatment program that you've alluded to?
Certainly. At Pioneer, we serve people that are treatment resistant, have significant addictions, and have failed at other attempts for recovery. So we serve a special portion of people who have an addiction. So the addiction curve, you go through levels of addiction, it's considered a disease, and you go from use to abuse to addiction to significant addiction. And typically the people that we serve are sentenced to treatment through a court process. That's called involuntary treatment, and we have intensive inpatient and detox services at 2 facilities in the state, and we also have facilities that treat co-occurring disorders where there's also a mental illness that's related to the substance addiction. One of the things that we run into quite a bit is a lack of education in society about addiction in general. Many people think that you can decide one day you're just not going to use drugs. And for someone with an addiction, it is not that simple. An addiction is a disease. There are brain changes that occur that makes that individual dependent on that particular drug. And at the point that Pioneer would treat that individual, they would have multiple drugs of choice that are very, very powerful that have chemically altered their body and their brain. And so the recovery process is one that is long. There are stages to it. And we typically focus on the most intensive services. And then we'll hand off that individual to services that are less intense. So they'll go from involuntary treatment to an intensive inpatient, to an intensive outpatient, to an outpatient, to support groups. But this is something that that individual will really struggle with for the rest of their life. So their environment and their family supports and community supports are very, very key to long-term recovery. But I think that in society, there's a lot of misinformation, I think, when it comes to addiction as a whole.
Would you now say more about your housing program?
At Pioneer, we have more than 800 units of housing across the state, and we really offer a full spectrum of housing options, from transitional, where people can live for up to 2 years while they're transitioning back into the community. They can live there if they have no rental history, bad credit, criminal background. We really try to be a low barrier housing provider and get people in at a minimal cost and help get them stable so that they can build that rental history, so that they can start to rebuild their credit, so that they can attach to the right services and employment and eventually move into permanent housing. Much of our permanent housing was really designed as workforce housing, because one of the things that we found is that when people would either exhaust their length of time in transitional housing or maybe be leaving a work release, that they could not find housing in the open market because so many landlords are unwilling to rent to someone with a criminal background. And so really what we're looking at is, how do we provide that spectrum of housing that meets the needs of the population that we serve?
Would you say more about how the housing dovetails with your other programs and supports them?
Well, housing is a basic service. And generally, if a person doesn't have stable housing, they're not going to follow their recovery path appropriately, or there's more invitation to relapse because of the pressure of not having the stability of a regular place to live. And it is very, very difficult to look for work and search for work if you don't have a home base. An employer can't contact you to tell you you've even received the job. So housing is one of those services that's fundamental, and it's key to transitioning back into society. It's an initial service. We can't even do our educational training programs with an individual until they've secured adequate housing.
We've already said a bit about your job training programs, but would you like to say more?
Pioneer offers a variety of training. We have a 4-week job readiness program called Roadmap to Success, where people learn the basic skills they need to look for a job, everything from filling out a resume to interviewing effectively, how to address questions about their history. And then I would say, even maybe more importantly, that program focuses on the softer skills, about how do you get along in the workplace, but also how do you start to view yourself as someone who deserves a job, who can succeed in that world. And really helping people, I think, start to change the image of themselves is really a big part of what that program does. And then from there, graduates either move into job search, where we help them look for work and secure employment, or into one of our occupational training tracks. We have 3 different tracks at Pioneer: a manufacturing academy, which teaches people basic manufacturing skills and prepares them to go to work on the shop floor. We have a food service program that is basic culinary skills and helps people get some job experience while they earn their ServSafe certificate. And then we also have a light construction, which is sort of a maintenance and repair track for people who are best suited for that work.
How successful overall have people who have completed your program been in finding employment?
So our training program, Roadmap to Success, which is our 4-week pre-employment training program, has an 88% graduation rate. And then 85% of those graduates are employed or go back to school, or they advance to one of our occupational training programs.
Would you give some additional success stories of people who have benefited from your programs?
One individual comes to mind. If you passed her on the street, you'd never know her history. She comes from the healthcare industry. Long red hair, freckles, an infectious smile, and she had an addiction where she was sent to jail or prison over 27 times. She was in the healthcare industry. Before the final time she went to prison, she was stealing the medication from the patients that were coming into the facility that she worked at. So, of course, after you are sentenced, sometimes the unfortunate part is that there are consequences to behavior. And we just have to live with that. So in her case, she will not be licensed to work in the health industry anymore. She had to find another opportunity. She came to Pioneer. She advanced through our training program. She became one of our pest detection handlers. She was promoted in that program. Then she left and went to work with a company that does pest detection, or I think it's even bigger than that now. And then she's a unit lead. So that's one of our individuals. We have another individual who has progressed all the way up to becoming a vice president that was incarcerated for drug dealing, cocaine. We have an individual who was a football player with an addiction, who is now a lead QA inspector, recently graduated from college, is a youth leader in his church.
We have one woman who works in our manufacturing floor who has really, I think, been an inspiration. She is 4 years out of prison, 4 years with Pioneer, and just earned her 4-year degree. She also got her voting rights back recently and was able to vote in the last election for the first time ever. And just watching her transform from work release and just getting started at the plant to now being really a leader within the organization and just progressing on her education and the things that she's been able to achieve, I think is really remarkable.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Karen Lee, Chief Executive Officer, and Hillary Young, Vice President of Policy and Communications for Pioneer Human Services, an entrepreneurial human service organization that provides a chance for change to people overcoming the challenges of substance abuse and criminal histories by offering treatment, housing, and employment. Where does Pioneer Human Services currently operate, and what are your geographical locations? You're in Seattle, but where else?
We operate all over the state. Our manufacturing facilities and our headquarters are here in Seattle in South Park. We're also in downtown Seattle, actually right close, very near this radio station with our sobering center and an outpatient clinic. We have housing facilities. We have at least 400 separate units and 8 buildings of housing right here in Seattle where we offer transitional and permanent. We are in downtown Tacoma with treatment and services. We have work releases spread throughout the state. We have quite a few facilities in Spokane and in Bellingham, and the rest are scattered.
How many people do you serve a year?
Well over 10,000 in a variety of ways. And some might receive one service, some receive many services. It's really a testament to the plight of being human and the underside of the society that many of us don't see. But, you know, the individuals that we serve with criminal histories and addictions can be served in a variety of ways. And it's not cookie cutter, and it really depends on that individual and that program delivery model that we have.
You mentioned work release programs. Would you say more about your role in the work release programs?
Pioneer is really the state's largest and most significant partner for reentry services, which is what the field calls it, a halfway house today. That terminology is called reentry because that really is the purpose. It's to transition from full confinement, where every move is dictated by the structure of that particular facility, transitioning to less restrictions, a gradual reintroduction of rights, family reunification, treatment if there is a barrier, and ultimately employment or stability and participation in society. And so that entire process is called the reentry process. And for halfway houses, which is what they were called in the past, work releases is another title that the state uses. Reentry centers is what the federal government uses. There are 16 work release facilities through the State Department of Corrections. We operate 10. There are 4 reentry centers operated by the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and we manage 3 out of those 4.
In addition to being the largest provider of work release, Pioneer was actually the first work release provider of community-based work release in the state of Washington. Prior to 1971, the state prison system was operating work release often out of the prison locations, and having it tied to the institution didn't necessarily benefit the people who were leaving the prison and for that work because, A, it was hard to find work in some of those more rural communities, but also because it's not where they were returning to. And so they would get some short-term work experience, but they would not have that job upon release when they went back to, you know, wherever they lived before they were incarcerated. So the State Department of Corrections approached Pioneer, actually, and said, you know, we'd like to try this in a more urban setting. And that's really where the work release side of what we do started. First work release for men opened in Seattle in 1971, and then we opened the first work release for women in 1973. And in fact, one of the women from that program is still employed at Pioneer today.
For clients with criminal histories, what is the recidivism rate for people who have gone through your programs compared to those who haven't?
I would say if a person goes through our employment program, becomes employed, the recidivism rate is very, very low. And particularly if they've been employed 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. National statistics say that once a person's been employed 7 years, their rate of recidivism is the same as everyone else in the country. And so Pioneer is really no different. However, I would say it depends, because a lot of factors go into who is selected, who qualifies. Mm-hmm. So we're not starting with the base of the 8,000 individuals that release out into the community every year from the Department of Corrections in the state.
What is the most important element of your programs that leads to people choosing and staying on a more positive path?
I think that the Pioneer's model is unique and really supports people's broad needs. So looking at employment, treatment, housing, really meeting those basic needs is key. And then on top of that, I think that every one of our programs is really designed to help people learn how to make better choices, how to manage any mental health issues, how to maintain sobriety, how to succeed in the workplace. And so it's the combination of those elements, I think, that really puts people on the right path to be able to be successful as they reenter the community.
Human beings are complex, and a lot of the theory today involves assessing the risk and the needs of those individuals and designing a reentry program that meets those needs specifically. So what we want is an individual that makes decisions that are appropriate, responsible, and in sync with the norms of our society. And so one of the things that makes Pioneer's multifaceted approach through treatment, housing, employment unique and successful is that depending on the individual's need, we can shift and help have a solution to that particular problem.
What have been some of the challenges in carrying out your programs?
I would say one of the biggest challenges of serving individuals today are that drugs are much more powerful today than they were 20 years ago. They're manufactured in a way that gets an individual addicted much quicker. I think the demands of society are different, the qualifications to work. There's more pressure on us today, the people moving, the speed of how we interact. All of those factor into addiction, and it can run from family to family. So a mother that has an addiction, you know, may likely pass that tendency in ways we don't know about through to her children. So people are born in ways that make them more susceptible. So we have what we call rising acuity, which makes people more difficult to treat, and it makes it harder for the individual to escape the ravages of the disease.
And I think one of the big challenges that we face sort of in the external environment is just funding. State budgets are really tight, federal budgets are tight, county budgets are tight, and those are the funds that really pay for publicly funded treatment services, which is what you need to serve the population that we serve. You know, many of them don't have insurance, they don't have other options, so they rely on that publicly funded treatment to be able to access treatment and get into recovery. And at the state level, particularly, we've just seen year after year of reductions, and trying to advocate for this population when it is not always the most sympathetic population, and everybody's fighting for a diminishing pot of dollars, that's been a significant challenge. But I do think that we've been lucky in this state, at least, that for the most part, the legislature understands the importance of these services. And there have been some real champions who've fought to keep funding and who recognize that the long-term savings, every dollar you invest in treatment saves $7 in other places in the budget, right? Whether it's people visiting the ER, the county jails. So it's a smart investment. And then just on top of the funding piece, I think the stigma attached to people with criminal histories and with histories of addiction and what they face when they go out into the real world and try to, you know, look for jobs to secure housing and some of those things, we give them the skills to be able to try to navigate that. But the fact is that we can't always control the external environment, and that stigma is always going to be a challenge.
In terms of your funding, what fraction of your funding comes from government contracts?
About 50% of our funding comes from government contracts, either at the state, federal, or county level. And then the other 50% we generate from our various lines of business.
Are there similar programs to Pioneer Human Services elsewhere?
Yes and no. Yes, there are other treatment programs throughout the state and throughout the country. So our approach to treatment isn't necessarily different. We all try to keep up with the best evidence-based practices. On the other hand, we are different on the types of individuals that we focus on and the mix of services that we apply directly to people with criminal histories and chemical dependency addictions. So from that perspective, we're very, very different.
And I also think that our business model is unique. Pioneer Industries, I think, makes Pioneer very unique. There are social enterprises, and I think we see more of a movement towards that model than the nonprofit sector, just trying to look for sustainable solutions for funding. However, those are typically more in the service industry. And so the fact that we have two large-scale manufacturing plants producing millions of parts a year for the aerospace industry and other commercial customers, I think really does make Pioneer different than many other social enterprises.
So where are you planning to go from here? How will you focus your efforts in the future?
We want to continue to offer great programmatic services to the people that we serve. It would be nice to be bigger. I think the most important thing for us is to continue to have strong enterprises and for individuals to have the opportunity to work and to have cutting-edge programming. So 10 years in the future, it would be wonderful if we had more enterprises than we do today. Today we have a large manufacturing organization, Pioneer Industries. We've talked quite a bit about that. But not everyone wants to be a water jet operator. We find that with women. So it would be nice if we had similar sized enterprise that had a different type of public that we could serve, that we've maybe made some small impact in terms of how citizens view individuals that have made poor decisions in the past. We're not trying to change that, but we would want to help lessen the stigma. The more individuals that find an appropriate future, get their voting rights back, become engaged and attentive mothers and fathers that pay child support and go to their children's sports games, those are all things that we hope for in the future.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
That Pioneer Human Services offers treatment, housing, and employment to people with criminal histories and substance abuse issues, that these individuals deserve to have a chance for change, and that we shouldn't hold their past against them.
Well, thanks so much for being here. You are just listening to Karen Lee, Chief Executive Officer, and Hillary Young, Vice President of Policy and Communications for Pioneer Human Services. For more information, check on the web at pioneerhumanservices.org. Again, that's pioneerhumanservices.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on demand, and then podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on Listener Powered 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.